just want. God's real good. It's the time of year, and we move in December, and we start talking the Christmas stories and all that. But I want you to begin December just really led to talk about God's meeting our needs, everything you need. You know, and you read the stuff, you read over to Matthew, and it talks about all the, you know, your clothes and your food and what you need to eat and drink and wear. But he meets a lot more things than that. We're going to get into that and talk about just how great this relationship is and why you want to build on it. Don't take it for granted. Build this relationship with the Lord, everything you need. But before start, we have a bunch of people. And a lot of us know this and some of you don't, but we have an internet church that is so much bigger than what we have here. And one of the last counts I had was, what, over 400 out there that we're ministering to? That's, we have a church out there, is over 400 that are with us. And it's like, and so I want them to meet you people right here. They won't get to know who you are. And all, so many have heard me talk about the pastor friend I have that's hauled me to Brooke Army Hospital so many times, and our extended church needs to know you. So both of you, I don't want to embarrass you, but let's embarrass you. You know, this is Daniel and Summer Henderson, and look right into that camera right there. And they are my deep, deep close friends, and have just gone above board to rescue me. And that day that I was so sick and Daniel came running over that morning, that was a scary day. And then when they told me later, you were that close, you just about went the wrong direction, you know. And I say, thank you for my angels, you know. So now everyone knows who these folks are. God bless you. You want to say anything while you're up here? Go ahead.
You know, what I would say, just everything you need. God is everything we need, but so often he's everything we need through others. And he's been so much what me and Summer needed through Tony as a counselor, as a friend, and a mentor. And I remember when Tony, there's been several times that I've encountered people in my own church. I'm like, oh my goodness, these people need to talk to Tony. Tony just carries this leadership, and this the ship is going to be okay when the captain's here. But something Tony's been teaching me is that the captain lives in here. And everything we need is inside of us. And so he's been a mentor to me to kind of come alongside me as the Holy Spirit leads me to realize that what he's teaching me is God is teaching me. That I might be the thing that somebody else needs. And so I just thank you for that, Tony. You've
sure.
been amazing. And, of course, I won't speak for Summer, but I know she's, you know how she feels about you.
Yeah,
bro,
I do.
It's just an honor to know you and to be able to help you, because you've helped us so much that they don't know about. But
well, it's all right.
We love you. And it's an honor to be here with you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. And that feeling is mutual. Love you both very dearly. And thank you. And it's nothing like being put on the spot. And pastors try to get used to that, because if you pastor long enough, you're going to get put on the spot a lot of times. But I really wanted everyone to know, as they've heard, and I've said this, and it's like you're seeing a great church here, and we have a great church out there. And so they know you now. So I don't know if all of you knew we had that many people that were with us. So we have quite a ministry, and I just thank God for it. It's great, isn't it? You know, you never know. And I remember, you know, during the COVID thing, and I read this little thing, but I shared it, and I saw this little caption. It said, "My pastor's now become a televangelist," and it's like I've become a televangelist and overnight and didn't know it. And so, see, there was some good that came from COVID after all, you know. So there we are. So let's talk about everything we need, and I'll share with you out of, this is a New International Version. I've been using every kind of version imaginable. It's NIV today. And And what I used last time, I think the New Living Translation and then the New American Standard, and so that you can use a lot of these, whichever reads the best for us on that particular day, but also so you can find a translation that you like and use it. I'm not stuck on one, you know. And if you're not happy with the translation you're using, get another good one. Don't get something that's off key. But the translations that I use up here are ones that I feel good and comfortable about and would approve. Find one that you can read well and it ministers to you. And don't use something because somebody told you, oh no, you've got to use the New King James or you've got to use the New International. Use what works for you as long as it's quality. Don't get a paraphrase or anything like that. Use one that really works for you. Today, the New International is what we're using. And we're going to break into 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to use verses 2 through 3. So real short passage. I've been reading lengthy passages and I thought, you got to knock that off, you know, and get a little shorter with this and just explain it better. So he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God, and Jesus our Lord. And it says, his divine power, this is where we're coming from in this message. So, and catch these things. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need. So this isn't an original title here. It's right out of the book. But he's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And that's what I'm going to give you up here. Let me share the next verse with you because it's important. And it said, through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It's like, why didn't you put that up there? I don't know. I want to make it shorter than I realize. Well, he explains here why he's given us everything we need so that we can participate in his divine nature and get away, escape corruption in the world. So let's take this and break it down and realize that Jesus will meet your needs for living. Okay? First of all, he'll meet your needs for life. You say, so what do I need to live? Now, a whole bunch of you know, we get into thinking that a lot of things we need are really wants. You know, there's just times I think what I really need for life, it's just essential, is a four-wheel drive pickup. And if life worked out like I'd want it to, every 3 or 4 years, you'd like a new one, right? I mean, you know, trade that in. That's not happening anymore, but you'd like to. Or you'd say, you know, I would like a swimming pool. Does anybody want a swimming pool? Oh, okay, there you are. You know, and how about, you know, you'd like one of those, you know, hot tubs. Anybody want a hot tub? Is that important? Oh, you do. Of course, that's my daughter nodding her head. Oh, okay, Daniel does. See, and you say, man, I've got to have that. I need that for living. But here's what he promises first and out of Matthew 7. He promises to meet your needs for food and clothing and shelter. Everything that you need to live. He promises that. And he has but he has a little catch there. And you hear this quote all the time, said, you know, God will meet all of our needs. That's over in Philippians, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Then in Matthew, he says, you know, don't worry about what you eat, drink, wear, and all this stuff. I'll give it to you. I'll take care of it. But he throws a little curve in there. And you need to know what the curveballs are. In baseball, it's great to know every pitch is a fastball. It's the curveball that'll get you. When you're looking for that thing to come, you know, high or low over the plate or down the middle, you always pray for. But what happens when just about the time it gets to the edge of the plate, that dude breaks? And you've got to always be looking for the curveball if you're going to hit it out of the park, if you're going to get on base. The same thing happens here. You've got to watch the little curves in Scripture to get on base. If you really want to, you know, get that home run, you want to score a run in Christianity, watch the little curves. They're not put in there to mislead you or anything else. It's just that the ball's going to break over the plate a little bit different. It's going to break down and out usually. And that's how I always wanted my curveballs to break. I want them to break and come in like a fastball and then suddenly do the down and out thing where they're swinging at the fastball in the middle and it's all gone outside the plate. To hit that thing, you got to be mentally prepared for it and reading the ball as it comes in. Same thing in Scripture. When you're reading Scripture, don't get locked and loaded on one pitch. Look to see what else has been thrown. And in cases like this, you know, you go over to Matthew and you read Matthew, and that's not part of our text, but you can read that and just jot it down. In Matthew 7, and he talks about that he'll meet all your needs, but then he throws this little curve. And you know what it is? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and there's the curve. If you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, he'll give all these things to you. So it's like, oh, he wants a follower to follow. He wants a disciple to be a disciple. He wants one of his people to truly live as one of his people. You see, that's the catch. I want you to really be sincere. You don't have to be perfect because none of us can be. But I want you to be consistent. And that's the key in Christianity. It's not perfection, it's consistency. Are you consistently seeking first his kingdom? And he says, if you are doing that, you will not suffer the needs for food, clothing, and all this kind of stuff that everybody said. The heathen, you know, the lost people are all worried about this. They got to make all this money. Where am I going to live? What am I going to eat and drink and all that stuff? He said, as a Christian, you'll never have to do that if you'll just catch the curve as it comes across the plate. And that is, this stuff's not automatic. It's not a fastball coming right across the middle every time. I'll do this, and all I'm asking, Jesus says, is that you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. You don't have to be perfect, because you can't be. You don't have to say all the right words every day. You don't have to take all the right actions. You know, we're all going to mess up. You know, your attitude's not going to be perfect 100% of the time. We're going to have a bad attitude. I don't know if anybody here ever does this, but in other churches, people wake up with bad attitudes once in a while. Have you ever had a dream and break up and wake up because of that dream with just a really bad attitude? You know, that's lousy, isn't it? Nobody's done anything to you, but you dreamed about them, and you wake up and you want to kill them. You ever wake up depressed because your dream was depressing? I mean, and how do you stop that? I've never figured out, and I've never read anything in Scripture to help me with my dreams. And I've tried, you know, you read Scripture, I try to read Scripture before I go to sleep, and it works pretty much, but sometimes you'll just have a dream that's like, where did that come from? Why is that hidden in my subconscious? And by the way, don't ever go studying dreams. I've had people say, I've been studying the dreams and where they come from. Dreams can be caused by what you ate the night before. Some people can eat horseradish and have nightmares. Did you know that? Okay, you're so quiet here, and nobody knew that. If you eat horseradish of the evening, studies have shown that horseradish can cause you to have nightmares. How about that? And then there's other things you can eat that will cause other kinds of dreams, but I don't want to recommend those to you because I don't want you dreaming those kind of dreams. You know, we have enough trouble. Nobody in here needs erotic dreams and all those kind of dreams, so I'm not going to tell you what might cause that. Just know your horseradish can cause you to have a nightmare. The point is this. We can't be perfect. We don't always wake up perfect. We don't have perfect days. And we'll say things once in a while that we just sit down and say, how did that come out of my mouth? Why did that come out of my mouth? I thought that I had passed that point in life. I'd given that to God and given that to God and given that to God and turn around and there it comes. Does anybody do that? Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you say, and how about the surprise things? Has anybody mastered the surprise four-letter words when somebody pulls out in front of you or does something like that? There's just something in the English language that just comes right out. And it can happen to any Christian, any pastor, anybody. And then, you know what really hurts? It really gets you if that surprise event happens and you utter those non-ministerial words and there's somebody else from your church in their vehicle with you. I haven't done that in a vehicle, but I did utter something and I was never told what I uttered. But everybody, some of you won't remember, but we had a longtime friend and member here that passed away. His name was Jim Stout. And Jim was, we used to go dove hunting in South Texas, we'd take church groups and we'd have these big group hunts and stuff. And we stopped at a little store down there and somewhere south of here. And I knew better, but they had these little packages and it said rattlesnake eggs. Well, rattlesnakes don't lay eggs. Some snakes do. Rattlesnakes are live birth snakes. So you didn't know that. So you get more than just this and these messages. Anyway, so I knew that. I knew that there's no such thing as a rattlesnake egg. But there was these little lumps in there, and I picked that package up anyway. And the clerk at the counter said, careful, you know. And they just build this. And so Jim was saying, well, open it and see what it is. And so I lifted up the little flap and opened that little packet. It's a little envelope type thing. Well, what it was one of those little things that a rubber band's wrapped around, and when you open it, it loosens it, it goes like that. That envelope sailed up in the air, and I ran back, and they told me, Tony, that was not pastoral what you said. And I didn't even know I said it, but I want you to know, and Jim never let me forget it. Pad, were you there on that trip? And to this day, I still wonder, what did I say? But it happened, it's gone, and it can happen to any of us. So listen, being consistent doesn't mean you're perfect and you've got it together every moment and every night of your life. But it does mean that most of the time you're heading in the right direction, and that's the Lord's direction. Friends, there's so many Christians who never get it, that there's a slight curve to some passages. And here, for God to fully meet your needs, for those basic needs that you have, then just give Him consistency in seeking first His kingdom. And you say, what does that mean exactly? It means that when I'm standing at the gas pump, if I have an opportunity, I just say hello or smile or do something nice for the person on the other side. It means that when I'm checking out at the grocery store and somebody's not particularly friendly, that I refuse to let their attitude become mine. I don't take on their stuff. And we do that too easily. We take on somebody else's stuff. It means that I let my Christianity overcome their bad attitude. It's just a human nature to take on negative faster than we take on positive. And we're here to influence the world and the people around us by what? By seeking first His kingdom. And it doesn't mean that you're preaching a message to everybody that's standing out there. It means that the message is coming from the heart in your lifestyle, and you're just not defeated by somebody else's poor attitude. Are there curse words? Are there threats or slanders or whatever it is? And I've done it myself. You ever had somebody wait on you when you're trying to eat and you want a good meal and they just have a rotten attitude? You know, and you're just trying to figure out how you can insert your tea glass, you know, right between the upper and lower jaws, you know, or elsewhere, in, you know, what your mind goes. But and yet God is saying, here's your opportunity to seek first My kingdom. And instead of you taking on their rottenness, you give them My pureness, My holiness. And let it flood the situation to where they can't be nasty anymore. There's times that you can just let the Holy Spirit flood a situation to where people just can't continue to be nasty. And I've seen it happen many, many times. Every time, no. But many times, yes. Where your holiness, what's coming out of you, of Christ in me, my hope of glory, overcomes the negative that's standing there in front of me. And you're not preaching to them. You're not yelling at them. You're not correcting them. You're simply letting Christ be in you and flow out of you. That's seeking first His kingdom. That's just letting Him be a priority there instead of just taking on somebody else's stuff. Well, I need to move on. You know, we could hammer on this and hammer on this. Just seek first His kingdom. That's Matthew. Now, I said Matthew 7 a while ago, and I don't know why I said that. Because I'm getting older. It just happens. But it's Matthew 6:33. And Matthew 7, I was thinking earlier, I know where that came from, was ask, seek, knock. You know, ask, you'll be given, seek, and you'll find. But in Matthew 6:33, it's seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if you have some needs, if you have financial needs, if you have whatever needs, ask yourself if they're not really being met, if there seems to be a glitch. Ask yourself, Lord, is there some place in my life where I'm really not pursuing your kingdom and your righteousness? Is there somewhere I've taken on something I shouldn't take on in my life? And he'll show you. And he's not going to beat you over the head. God is glad to help us if we'll just let him. Now let's look at this next point. Jesus will meet your needs for completeness, not just life, but to be complete. This church was named Full Life Fellowship. It came, for those of most, a lot of you know, but a lot of you have come here since. It was named after ministry I was doing when I was out of the ministry, and it was Full Life Ministries, where I wanted to take people out and take them into the wilderness and in the mountain areas and whatever, and teach them through what was out there, God and his creation, and let them be people that wouldn't necessarily come into church, but you could expose them to the Lord through his creation and take them out, let them be fishing or looking at trout stream or whatever they were doing, and then begin to experience more full life. And then taking Christians who are a little bit on the edge, a little bit on the outs with the Lord or out of church, and begin to experience full life, God's whole life, not just church life, but the Lord in his creation. And then when all this came about, we took that name and said, let's call this Full Life Fellowship, because we want to do more than just have just the church life, the spiritual life. Let's teach people how to really live. Just live with the Holy Spirit as our guide, but to live and enjoy God's creation. That's why we go out, and we used to a lot, and go on these adventures. Man, we used to be in the rice paddies of East Texas, and in the peanut fields going out towards Lubbock and all these places, and we just did all kinds and went fishing, and I'd like to do it again. And it was just to expose people and say, you know, God's out here. Look at this part of his creation. Look at this part of his creation. It's not just found in church. This is where we group together and we meet together in obedience to his word. We talked about that last week. But this, we take it out and we experience the Lord in his fullness. So God wants you to have completeness in your life. And let's look at a few things here where some of us could probably stand better completeness, understand what it's about. And the first one that Jesus gives you is friendship. Now look, Jesus is our Savior and Lord. It starts with that. When I repent of my sins and I ask Jesus in my heart, he becomes my Savior. There's a little curve there too. And it's this. When Jesus becomes my Savior, he's not necessarily my Lord at that point. I have to yield my body and my heart and my thoughts to him, to his lordship, for him to be the Lord of my life. You can be a saved Christian, but you're still running the show and denying the Holy Spirit's power. Anybody ever had that struggle? Your will versus God's will? I want what I want. I want it to go. Thank you. That's honest. And that's just get it, you know. Instead of saying, you know what? I don't want you just to be my Savior. I don't want fire insurance here. And you know, just go to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And that means I've got to give you control of my body. I've got to give you control of my thoughts. I've got to give you control of my attitude, of my expressions. Sometimes, friends, we don't have to say a word, but our expressions speak louder than any word we could ever utter. Does anybody have trouble with their expression? I see somebody laughing over here already. Okay. Yeah, you have a little expression problem, do you? Do you get these expressions with somebody in your home and they're saying, well, you don't have to act so, you don't have to be so mad. And you're saying, I didn't say a word. Yes, you did. Your mouth and your eyes and all that stuff and your face crinkled up and you said a whole bunch. Anybody have those kind of problems? Oh, okay. The whole place does. Okay, well, all right then. We all do. We're, you know, and we come on and say, I didn't say a word to you. And guys, you've learned by now, haven't you? You don't have to say a word. They're looking at your face. And if your eyes cross or your eyebrows raise, you're in trouble. And that's where we blow it all the time. Pastors mess up with that. You ever sit and someone's preaching a message and it's supposed to be a real encouraging message, but their face is anything but encouraging? Have you ever seen that? You know, I've watched it myself, and sometimes on TV I've watched this. I just have to turn it off. And there'll be some guy up there and they're ranting and raving or saying, God wants you to have his joy. God wants you to be happy. The joy of the Lord in my heart. And it's like, somebody needs to kill him. I mean, whew. You know, they need to take him out and get him a weapon. I mean, you've seen it, right? Listen, that's what you make God the Lord of. And you say, make him Lord. He wants to be Lord. He'll save you when you confess your sins and receive him as your Savior. But friends, you go beyond that and say, I want you to straighten out my expressions. I want you to correct me, Lord, when the stuff I don't realize I'm doing, I want you to bring it to my attention. Now, guess how he's going to do it? He's most often going to do it through someone else. So don't get mad. Give some people permission in your life, and this is hard to do, but listen to me. Give some people permission in your life to share with you when you have that expression or that attitude that you don't know that you're having. Give them a chance. Give people permission without you getting upset to say to you, ooh, you're doing that again. And you become conscious of it. Let your expressions and your body language match your faith. Is everybody with me? That's giving Jesus Lord. And sometimes in our thought life, does anybody struggle with your thought life? You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but it's okay if you do. You ever struggle with your thought life? You know, and we think lust on that. You think, yeah, I'm a lust. You know, what about anger? What about vindictiveness? Anybody in here want to get even with somebody right now? Okay, thanks. Well, that's honest. And you're in the shower or whatever, you're sitting in the bathtub, whatever it is you're doing, maybe in the kitchen fixing something, preparing a meal, and all of a sudden these thoughts are going through your head before you even catch yourself, and you see yourself visually, see yourself hurting this person, wanting them to be hurt. It just happens, and that's part of it. And see, that's what God is saying, let me be Lord of that. Let me take over. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Give him a shot. See what he'll do. Just give him a shot. Let's talk about this important aspect here with, you know, when next to salvation is friendship. Jesus, what did Jesus say in John? I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Everything I learned from my Father I've made known to you. He inserted something there to his disciples, and we're his disciples, and he said, I call you friends. That doesn't come before salvation and lordship, but it does follow. How many of you look at Jesus and talk to him as a friend? When I was preparing this, as God was working on my heart with this message, and one of the questions I posed out loud there, just I was sitting there in the living room, and that's where I work. I've got all these Bibles and books scattered everywhere. And it's like, Lord, what is friend? What is a friend? Really, what I've got my version of friendship. What is a friend? And when Jesus said that, what did he mean when he said, you know, I call you friends, which meant I'm your friend? What does friend Jesus do? And the first thing that came into my mind was he keeps his word. He keeps his word. Jesus keeps every word he's ever spoken in this book. And when he says, I call you friends, what's he asking us to do? Keep our word. And if there's any human failing, it's in saying things to other people and we don't follow through. Has anybody ever found themselves guilty of that? I'm gonna, and we're gonna, and I'm gonna, and we don't do it. And it's like, we've all done it. We've all blurted out things and we never followed through on it. And Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me also. So as a friend of Jesus, If I don't keep my word, who have I not kept my word to? A person, yes, but more so to Him. Because my word is His word. Do you get it? This follows from lordship. Him being in control of my life. So when I give myself my word and I obligate myself, I'm putting Him on the line with that. And Jesus always keeps His word and He wants us to keep it. Listen, friends, we're all human. And if you ever fail to keep your word, what's the first thing you need to do? Admit you didn't keep it and ask forgiveness and clear the air. And admit it to God and clear the air with Him. Secondly, respect. Friends respect each other. If there's something I've seen in church work that just is upset me over the years, it's how Christians can disrespect each other. You've seen it too, haven't you? Pastoring, you've seen it. You've heard people. It grieves your soul to watch people and how they talk to each other. And can get in arguments over stuff and you're going, what? Seriously? I was listening and I was, well, this was being shared with me, not here, but, you know, about two sisters. And you know what they got in a fight over? Who was the most powerful? They got in a fight, a knockdown, yelling, screaming fight over who's the most powerful, Batman or Superman? And I was told to this day, don't bring that up. They will get another fight. I want to ask you, how many Batman, Superman episodes are you experiencing or have you experienced that you really need to get straightened out? I mean the ridiculous stuff that we get upset over and show disrespect. Does anybody come to mind right now that you need to get straight with? That's been some disrespect? And I know what a lot of us are thinking. No, but I can think of some people that's disrespected me. Before you react to that, realize one thing. That if people disrespect you, they're really disrespecting Christ. Once again, you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me also. You've got somebody on your side, and the Scripture tells us if he's for us, who can be against us, right? And so if anybody's messing with you, they're not messing with you, they're messing with him. Let me share one other thing about friendship. A friend knows you. A real friend knows you. And so when Jesus said, I call you friends, he knew them from top to bottom. And guess what he also was saying? As a friend, I know every failure that you're going to ever have. And I know you're going to let me down. And when he said this, he already knew Peter was going to deny him in the courtyard. He knew that later on, Peter would also go back and start following Jewish rituals. And Paul would have to rebuke him. And he knew that Paul and Barnabas were going to have a big fight. A disagreement on a missionary trip. He knew everything that was going to happen in everybody's life, even those that weren't there yet. He knew, and yet he called them his friends. Friends aren't perfect. And a problem that we have sometimes is we expect our friends to be bigger than God instead of letting them just be people. And Jesus let you be people and grow towards perfection and learn from your mistakes. And if Jesus does that with us, then why don't we do it with each other? And every husband and wife in this place, you will do each other a favor if you let each other make mistakes and don't hold it against one another. Just let it go. That's free counseling. There's no charge for that. If you want to go further, then we'll sign you up. But isn't it so? Maybe you need to drop the Batman, Superman arguments and realize who cares. You know what's sad about that little deal? Neither one of them are real characters. I can't imagine. But then don't a lot of our arguments evolve around things that aren't really, they're superficial, not really worth it. I said, Tony, we quit beating on this. You're making us feel really lousy. Okay, I'll move on. Overlook each other's faults, not your sins. We need to discuss sins in friendships. But we can sure overlook faults. You know, it's amazing how irritated you can get with a friend by the way that they scratch their ear, constantly cleaning their glasses, or taking them on and off when they're bringing a message like I do all the time. I'm very aware of this. I know I do it. And you say, after all these years, are you still nervous? I'm nervous every time I bring a message. You know why? I don't want to blow it. I don't want to let myself be in any way the center of this thing. Christ is to be the center, and I'm just a servant. And it's really hard when you're looking at me and you can't quite see him, but the message must be about him and not about me or about people. And that's hard. I'm always touchy. It's like, God, don't let me share too many illustrations or get in too many stories or anything like that that would draw too much attention to the flesh and not to you. But a friend knows you, and he knows we'll make mistakes, and he still calls us friends. Let me ask you this, and we'll move on. Do you talk to Jesus as a friend? I mean, do you talk to him just sometimes in your prayers? He's your Savior, and he's your Lord. We know he's God. But do you ever sit and talk to him like you would your friend, as your best friend? Do you share your most intimate thoughts really with him? If you're afraid he's going to be offended, he knows what you're thinking anyway. So why don't you just talk to him? Get your heart clean. You know what you're going to feel from him? A spiritual pat on the back. And a thank you for coming clean today. Thank you for talking to me as your Savior and your Lord and as your friend. Let me tell you what else he gives you. I'll move quickly. Companionship. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Jesus said, I know my people and they know me, and I call them by name and they follow me, and I give them eternal life and no one can take them out of my hand. Jesus gives you, for completeness, full companionship. Friendship. He gives you salvation, he gives you friendship, and he gives you companionship. He's your companion. You're married to him for life. You can walk out on Jesus. You can commit spiritual adultery. You can do whatever. What is spiritual adultery? It's when you start putting other things in this world ahead of God and you start lusting after them more than you do him. You desire things of this world more than God, and a lot of Christians fall into that, and it ran with money. It's really easy, isn't it? But material things. You can want a house or certain items in the house or whatever it is, and you just desire it and want more and more and more than you do God. We start worshiping idols. And Jesus said, even when you do that, it hurts me, it breaks my heart, but I will not leave you, forsake you. I'm married to you for life. You can run out on me, but I will not run out on you. I ought to know I ran out on him. I left the ministry for about 7 years. And I tell you what, he hunted me down and he broke my heart and he put me down, face down in the dirt. Because I was telling him I'll never pastor again. I've been hurt too much and I've ruined my life and I'll never. And there I found myself about 7 years later with my face in the dirt, saying, God, either take my life or put me back in the ministry because I can't live like this. And here I am. Here I am, he said. And guess what? He said, I'm taking your life. You just died to yourself and you're living now for me. And we all need those experiences somewhere in our life where we die to self and we become alive to him. And that's what happened there for me. And so here I am. And it gives you purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you really know what your purpose is? Do you know why you're put here on this earth? You're put here to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you're put here to love your neighbors, yourself, and do everything you can to live that out. That's your purpose. And then with that purpose, what do? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What? Make disciples and teach them everything I've taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, that comes from loving people. Loving people comes from loving me. Have you thought about falling in love with God all over again? Have you thought about taking Jesus out on a date? And really tell him how much you love him and giving him your heart again. And it gives you belonging. The Holy Spirit bears witness with the Spirit bears witness that we are God's children, and he gives us the privilege of calling him our dear Father. Look in Romans 8, you'll see it. He says, where we can say Abba Father, that means precious dear Father. And he gives us that belonging. We belong to the kingdom of God, whether we act like it or not. We really do. And then security. He gives us security. Why are you afraid? If you know these passages, you won't be. Let me give you this real quick in Ephesians. We really are closing. And you also were included in Christ. This is Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, look at this. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You're a sealed package. And the stamp of the King, the stamp of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is put on you. You belong to him, and he'll never remove that seal. Remember how they used to dip the signet ring into the wax and they'd put the seal? That's how you are sealed in the Holy Spirit, and God's mark is on you, and you belong to him, and no one else can take you. You're his package. You're his deal, and you belong to him forever. This is great stuff. And the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now that's what you have. We're going into this Christmas season and you have all of this available. And so in closing, finally, you're really closing this time, Tony? I'm really closing. Jesus will meet your need for powerful fullness and godliness. And here's what he gives you. Everybody ready? Because this is a quick run. He gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit, if you want it, if you want it. He gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit. He gives you forgiveness and the grace to forgive. He gives you the power to love God. He gives you the power to love others. But look over in Luke 10, and what else does he give you? He gives you the power to cast out demons. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I give you the authority, the power, to walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing will by any means harm you. How do you like that? You not only have all this good stuff, you've got authority over the enemy. Friends, go get him. Don't wait for the devil to come to you. Go to him and rebuke him and take him on. He has no authority over you. You have the power to stand on holy ground and live with freedom, live with fullness, live with all the power of the living God. So start doing it and rejoice in it. And that's all I have to say. I'm going to close now. Let's pray. Daniel, would you close us? Would you mind?
Living, breathing word, God, that will minister to every one of our needs, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for identifying today what are our needs, but what you truly are. You truly are your word. You never lie. God, thank you for helping us identify the things that aren't needs, God, that may be idols in our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus, Father, to lay those things down and never pick them up, God. Thank you for being so patient with the people. Father, thank you for being everything we need. Thank you for the people that we've seen you help us through. God, I pray that we would understand you so much deeper, God. As we submit to areas that don't line up to your Lordship, God, I pray that as you pull those things away, God, we would understand just how deep your love goes. And that we'd be changed, Father. And Father, I thank you, Father, for just the testimony that you love us even though we're human. Thank you, Father, for that grace in our lives. And then to know to know that when we repent, when we cry out, that we are still child, that we still carry the authority of your name. Father, come. Help us to walk in the Spirit, Lord. We won't fulfill the desires of the Father. Father, I just pray blessing over this place, God. For every step, every boot, every shoe that would hit this floor, God, that would be dancing or whatever, God, I pray that it would be blessed. by the people, your people that come here now, Lord. I pray that God, you would strengthen these people here. And Father, I pray you would bless them. Bless them, Lord, in immeasurable ways, God. For being a servant that God is just is after your heart. And Father, I pray that you would rise up, Father, us, your people as well, to see that heart and to run after it in Jesus' name. You know what God's people say?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to try to get him here one of these days to come up here and bring the message. And so you just pray about that. We'll get him back here. God bless you all. Thank you for being here on this old nasty day, and we'll see you next time.